It's 15 already.
I think it's 15.
Okay. Oh. Okay, good evening, everyone. So, I would like to begin discussing now the halachas of meleches kosher. Kosher umatir. Kosher meaning tying a knot on Shabbos, and matir, untying knots on Shabbos. These are two of the Lamates Malachas, two of the 39 Malachas, which are listed in the Mishnah in Paraklal Gadol and Shabbos, Akosha v'Hamatir. Okay, so there's, to begin with, is a very basic Machlokes Rishonim in defining what constitutes a Kesher for the purpose of Melechah Shabbos. Meaning as follows. It's clear in the Gemara that there are three levels within kosher, within making ksharim, making knots on Shabbos. There are three levels. There is a level of a knot which, if a person makes that knot on Shabbos or unties that knot on Shabbos, there would be chiyuv d'oraisa, chiyuv chatas, be a violation of a Torah law. Then there is a form of a knot which is mutter min ha-Torah but asur midrabanan. And then there are knots which are mutter, entirely mutter, even midrabanan. And now just to clarify, the laws or the rule, the standards and of what constitutes a knot on a d'oraisa level, on a d'rabanan level, is the same in Meleches Kosher as it is in Meleches Matir. Meaning any knot which one is not permitted to make on, to create on Shabbos, to tie on Shabbos, min ha-Torah. So just like tying it on Shabbos would be a Issa D'Raisa, so would untie. If you untie such a knot, whether it was made on Shabbos or made during the week, whether you made it or someone else made it, but if you untie such a knot, and a knot which is usher to tie midrabanan is also usher to untie midrabanan, and a knot which is permissible to tie is permissible to untie. So the rules are the same. But okay, so now, as I said, there are three gedarim. There's chayiv d'oraisa, there's usher midrabanan, and there's mutar legamri. Now there's a machlokas rishonim in identifying the what exactly fits into the three different categories. So let's first say, I'll say the sheet of Rashi and the Rush, right? We'll just call it the Rush for our purposes, and the other sheet is the Rambam and the Riff. We'll call it the Rambam. So we'll call it a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. According to the Rush, it's very simply like this. If one ties a knot with which is intended to last permanently, ties his knot and no intention of ever undoing it, that would be a chiyuv d'oraisa. That's the category of a knot that's asur min ha-Torah. No other conditions necessary. Just the fact that it's a knot and it's tied with the intention of lasting permanently. If one ties the knot, which is not meant to be permanent, but it's meant to last for a period of time, not to be untied right away, and we'll have to define as we go along, you know, more specifically that, but let's just talk now in broad terms now. If it's meant to stay for not indefinitely, it's meant to eventually be untied, but not right away, that's asur midrabanan. And then a knot which is tied with the intention that it should be untied within a very short amount of time, is mutar legamri.
So, in our opinion, you should be able to double knot your shoes. Under his opinion,
Shabbos.
Yeah, you are not. You're usually. That's what I believe. But under that description, will be completely.
That's divine. Correct. According to that, if we would follow the Rush fully, then that's correct. You'd be allowed to double knot your shoes on Shabbos as long as you will untie them. Right, as long as you untie them within 24 hours. I gave away the number. Within a very short amount of time. We'll get to the numbers later. As long as you untie him, you tie it with the intention of untying him within what's called a very short amount of time, yes.
Let's say that the person usually unties his shoes, but on Shabbat he did a double knot and took the shoe out.
So you are jumping.
Again, 9:53.
We'll get there. It's Shavuot. Okay, let's build it up slowly. Okay, or at least I shouldn't say slowly. That's not the point. Let's build it up systematically. Okay. So that's the sheet of the Rush. According to the Rambam, there's another factor involved in the discussion, and that is, according to the Rambam, in order for a knot to be considered osur min haTorah, to make a knot to be a Torah violation, there are two conditions necessary. One is that it's meant to last indefinitely. It's being knotted for permanence, but also that it's what's called a kesher uman, which kesher uman literally be translated as a uman is a craftsman, a professional type of a knot, according to the Rambam. Not any knot at all, even if it is a knot, but if it's not called a professional knot, what we'll classify with that, and we'll have to get again into this, try to get specifics and defining, but we're using the terms now. Professional, according to the Rambam, to be chayav in a Torah, it has to be a professional knot, which is tied to last indefinitely. If, however, you're lacking one of those two criteria, meaning, let's say you tie it permanently, but it's not a professional knot, or it is a professional knot, but you tie it, not permanently, you tie it with the intention of untying it at any point, but you tie it with the intention of untying it, according to the Rambam, that's usur only midrabbanan. And if it's lacking both criteria, it's not a professional knot, and it's not tied, it's not meant to last permanently, then it's mutter. So there are really two differences.
What if it's one of those two? Let's say it's not professional, but it's permanent, or it's not permanent.
So said
it's
not permanent,
it couldn't be professional.
Well, that's good. You can make a professional knot, but you plan on untying it. Not permanent means I plan on untying it. So the answer is, that's asur midrabbanan. If it has one of those two conditions and is missing the other, according to the Rambam, it's asur midrabbanan. So there are two differences between the sheet of the Rambam and the sheet of the Rush. Two differences are, first of all, in the Rush's world, professional, non-professional is not a factor. It doesn't make a difference. If it's either permanent, or it's long-term but not permanent, or it's short-term. Those are the three things. The Rice of the Rabban and Mutter is permanent, long-term but not permanent, or short-term. Whereas according to the Rambam, no, it'll never be Chayv Min HaTorah unless it's a professional knot. You need that second condition. But also, the difference between the two sheetahs is that according to the Rambam, there's no difference, there's no middle stage in time. When it comes to the time factor, it's either permanent or it's not. If it's permanent, and we said, and it's uman, yechayim min haTorah. Once it's not permanent, even if it's you did it for a very, a long time, it doesn't make a difference. If it's not permanent, then it's not what's called the olam, then it's the same as if you did it to tie and untie 5 minutes later. And in which case, as we said, but it'll still be us if we draw upon it, if it's a professional knot. But if it's not a professional knot, it'll be mutter. In other words, according to the Rambam, even if you make a knot and you plan on leaving it there for 3 weeks, but it's not a professional knot, so it's not professional and it's not permanent, even though you're leaving it for 3 weeks, it's not, you're not planning on tying it right away, it's going to stay for 3 weeks, it's mutter. According to the Rambam, that would be mutter. You'd be allowed to make such a knot. Right, so according to the Rambam, you could tie your shoes for 3 weeks if you want, because you just tie your knot. Well, I don't know about double knotting, but at least a single knot. You can make a single knot. We'll get to double knot. You can make a single knot and leave it there for even a knot which will hold. Let's say tying your shoes in the regular way.
What are those strings they put around the sefer? They make one thing and then they stick it in.
So
that lasts more. It stays there for more 24 hours.
It does. Okay, but so let's.
Right.
It does.
Only they make the only one. They stick it around and around. Does Shnei should they have the same toes? They don't have the huh?
Yakis.
That's called
a knot.
They make one and then they If you do two, then you have a problem.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
And you're gonna define what is a professional knot.
We'll discuss it very shortly.
If they don't
want, okay. Wait a second. So let's get there. So we've explained the two camps, the two opinions, the Rush and the Rambam, and so what's the halacha lemaisa? So the Mechaber brings just the sheet of the Rambam. The Mechaber says it has to be a Kesher Uman in order to be Chayv in a Torah. And if it's not a Kesher Uman, so if it's permanent, it's also Midr Rabbanan. But if it's neither Uman nor permanent, it's Mutter, according to the Mechaber. However, the Ramah brings in the sheet of the Rush and says there are the Yesh Cholkim. This is, by the way, in Siman Shin Yud Zayin. The laws of the halachas of Kshira and Shin Yud Zayin. The Ramah brings in Yesh Cholkim, and they hold that any Kesher is for Kayama, even if it's Hedyot, even if it's not Kesher Uman, Yechayev. If it's Kayama, it's meant to be permanent, Yechayev. Okay. And Lamaisa, we're Machmer for both. We are Machmer like both, by both opinions, the Sheet of the Rambam and the Sheet of the Rush, so that any knot which will be defined as uman, as professional, you will not be allowed to make, even if you want to make it just for 5 minutes and untie right away. You can't do it, because once it's a kesher uman, it's usur at least midrabanan. And I say, if you do it for even for a very short period of time, it's usur midrabanan, following the chumra of the Rambam. And on the other hand, though, even if you make a non-professional knot, totally non-professional knot, but unless you make it for a very short time, it's also going to be us. I mean, you can't make it for 3 weeks. Even the Rambam would say, no problem. If it's not a professional knot, go ahead. Just don't make it permanent. Just don't make it permanent. You want to make it for a long time, you can make it for a long time. Just make sure you plan on taking it out eventually. But since we're machmah like the Rush, so then a knot, even if it's not professional, because remember, according to the Rush, that's not even a factor. But once it's meant for any for a length, a period of time, not permanent, but a period of time, it's also going to be the Rabbanan. So both of those things are going to be usher. Professional knot's going to be usher even for 2 minutes, and even non-professional knot's going to be usher if it's going to last for a certain period of time. So now let's try to define exactly now the time periods we're talking about, meaning in the Rush now, right? We said according to the Rush, it's mutter if it's for a very short period of time. So what's called very short? So this is so there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch in that, right? Within this Shita, two opinions defining what's called a very short amount of time. The first opinion says that it's going to be opened within the day, right? The first opinion says if in order to be mutter to tie the knot, meaning this non-professional knot, in order to be mutter to tie it, it would have to be that it is going to be untied within the day, which means either, you know, within Shabbos, or not necessarily in Shabbos, as long as it's in 24 hours. I mean, if you tie you make such a knot Shabbos morning, so you don't have to untie it before Shabbos is over. You have up to 24 hours. That's Lashon and Mishnah Berurah and Sivkot and Vav. Dechol pachos michav dal shows anything less than 24 hours kiyomo mikri. It's called doing it within the day. Okay, but there's a sheet that's a little bit more lenient, which the Ramah also brings down. There's a shita that says that up to seven days is still called very short term. That's called tying it for a short term knot, which as long as it's not professional, will be mutter according to everyone, right? Because even according to the Rush, as long as it's short term, it's mutter. But you want to make sure it's not professional, so you don't run into problems with the Rambam Shita. But if it's not professional and it's short term, it's mutter. So according to the second opinion, short term means up to 7 days.
So if somebody makes a knot in their shoes and with the intention of unknotting, how would you say, untying, and he forgets 10 days later, it's retroactive.
Not really, because if he did it, he had no intention of leaving it. So when he did the Maisa, it was permissible. Later he forgot, so he's not Mechal Shabbos by forgetting. And it's really, really in Svar, it should be totally anyway. What was the intention when you made the knot? What happened later? If, for example, we discussed this in Borer, if you remember. We discussed, let's say a person wants to, a person selects something. He has a mixture, and he's only allowed to select the good from the bad, but for me to choose, right? Only for me to choose. So he picks it out, he selects it, he's got it, and now he wants to change. You know what? I don't think I want it after all. He had a whole mix of, a basket full of assorted fruits, and he went in there and he selected one specific fruit from the mixture. Ah, I want to eat this. Takes it out, and then 2 minutes later he says, you know what? I changed my mind. So is that okay? Did he say, oh, I changed your mind? We're gonna lightning's gonna strike you. You can't change your mind because if you change your mind, that means you didn't do it for immediate use. You're not gonna use it till after Shai. He's like, you know what? I think I'll have it with my Malava Malka. Really? No, you're just so the Prima Gadim says it's not the right thing to do. You like that lightning? Prima Gadim says it's not the right thing to do. You picked it out for immediate, the whole heter is immediate use, so to change your mind now and decide to leave it till after Shabbat is not the right thing to do. And the Mishnah Berurah says, I'm not sure I know why it's not the right thing to do, even. What did he do wrong? And I'm assuming maybe what the Prima Gadim means is, because it's easy to fool yourself then, right? If it's going to be mutter to change your mind, if changing your mind is nothing wrong with changing your mind, so then people will, I changed my mind. And it, you know, he might even convince himself that he wants it, but really, he really doesn't want it. He wants to get it now because he's afraid by later somebody else might eat it. So he wants to take it out, but he doesn't want it now. He wants it later. He just wants to lay claim to it. So he wants to take it out and put it aside so somebody else eat it. But he convinces himself that he wants it now, and then after he takes it out, he no longer is convinced that he wants it. Maybe something like that. Maybe that's the premium. I don't know. But the Bishop says he doesn't really know. As long as the person's being honest with himself, he doesn't know why it's even a problem. But getting back here. Here, Lachar, it's even more pashut that there should be nothing wrong with. I made the knot. See, there the pshat is what a chelik of the heter is immediate use. It had to be from it, and so he ended up not being there. Here, it's in the maisa kosher, right? In the maisa kosher, when I made the knot, so. If I didn't make a permanent knot, or I didn't make a long-term knot, I didn't do anything wrong. I made a short-term knot. I made a knot that was intended to be open later. So even if I change my mind later, but the maisa was making a knot that for short-term.
So
okay.
Follows the intention, essentially.
Yeah, I think so.
It's almost like something else. It's not the knot you made. You made a temporary knot.
Right.
Not the canvas.
Maybe it says only that. Okay, so we said
when
we have these two.
You're making the knot.
Sorry?
If it's a knot that's not easily open, then I understand you want it open up after Shabbos, right after Shabbos, but if you made a knot, then it's considered a kasher.
Yeah.
Even if you had intention to open it later, right. And it stayed later, your
problem. Well, I'm not sure you meant it's
make a
not,
double knot.
Okay, one second. But I'm talking about sofa something that's not a kasher uman, right? So that we didn't define yet that we're using sofa just that term. If it's not a kasher uman, then that's a permissible type of knot, right? Just the only thing is you have to make sure you're doing it only for short term. You're not knotting it for long term. So, all right.
But by the halakha, we're defining short term as. One day, 24 hours, or 7 days?
I said, it's the two opinions. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's brought down that one should l'chatchila conform with the stricter opinion and only make a knot on Shabbos if it's going to be open within 24 hours. They make the knot and with the intention and follow through, open within 24 hours. But if it's necessary, one could rely on the more lenient opinion. Or the same thing again, same thing as far as untying a knot. You have a situation where you want, let's say you are... You have a pair of shoes that you wore during the week, and during the week you usually only wear them during the week, maybe, right? So you're not even careful necessarily to open the laces when you take it off. You kick at night. I'm not saying it's the most proper thing to do, even though it's derech eretz, but that's the person at night. He's tired. He just kicks the shoes off. Or he just pulls them off. He doesn't bother untying them. The next time I need them, I'll untie them. Right now I'm tired, right? So and they're weekday shoes, so he doesn't have a problem. So he made it. He made the knot on Sunday, and. Took them off Sunday, and then now they might have lasted. When he made the knot Sunday, he could have easily lasted 4 or 5 days. Now comes Shabbos, now is Shabbos, and for some reason he has a need to use these shoes. His Shabbos shoes got muddy or misplaced or whatever it is. Shabbos shoes aren't available, and so the weekday shoes, okay, they're suitable. They're not nothing terrible. He could wear them, but they're not in shut, right? There are knots in them. And he wants to know that that knot was made on Sunday or Monday. Let's stay away from 7 days. It was made within 7 days, much more than 24 hours, but within that, and it was made with the intention of staying more than 24 hours. It wasn't made with the intention of coming out of 24 hours. So could he use those shoes? So he said, look, if that would be a situation where he doesn't have another suitable pair of shoes other than this pair of shoes, so he'd be allowed to. Then if they're tied for less than seven days, it's permissible to open them when necessary.
If a person never unties their shoes, and one of them gets untied in Shabbat and he ties it again, that will be a permanent knot.
He never unties him. He just uses a shoe and sticks
his shoe in and out without.
Then he's got a problem. And now he has to now when he wants to retie it, he's got a problem. But let's address that. You say, well, so just tie it and make sure to untie it. This time I'll untie it. And you can see, right, maybe, but that's not so pasha because it does say. Excuse me. It does say that, and at least the Mishnah Berurah holds in the Bir Halacha here at the beginning, that a knot, it doesn't always go by the individual. If it's a knot which is typically made for a extended period of time, then it's not okay if you just say, you know what, I'll make this knot and I'll take it out after Shabbos. For example, the Shpura talks about this. There's a Shaila in the Achronim about. What happens if a person doesn't have a pair of tzitzis for Shabbos, or some of it's let's say one of the corners got all unraveled and knotted? Could he fix it on Shabbos? So there's a big deal in the Achron that you can't make tzitzis on Shabbos. This is a permanent knot, right? When you knot the tzitzis, your intention is to stay indefinitely. If it comes unraveled sometimes, but you mean for it to stay indefinitely. So the Bir Halacha says, what's the big problem? So just tie it on Shabbos. Have in mind to untie it after Shabbos, and after Shabbos you'll untie it, and then once it's Matzah Shabbos, then you'll retie it permanently, right? During the week, do whatever you want. So just do it with the intention and follow through, and just make the knots, make the regular knots. Just do so with the intention of untying it. So he says the Bir Halacha, the answer is you can't do that. That doesn't help, because since it's something which is. That's not the design of this knot. That's not the norm of this knot. This knot is typically made permanent. It's a knot that is intended to be permanent. So for you to say, well, I'm not doing that. I'm just informing you. I'm not making it permanent. That doesn't work. It goes by, at least the chumra, it goes by the norm. Now, if there's a group of people who act differently, so then, okay, then within that group, that's a different story. You know, it's a certain, like the Gemara talks about a person who used to share his shoes or sandals with his son. And they had one pair for the two of them. And they weren't the same size, so that they had to be adjusted. The knots had to, these were the knots that like made up, like we spoke about last week, knots that made up the sandal, not just that when you put it on your foot that you tie it on, but in order for the to fit, so it had the way to adjust. They're adjustable shoes based on the straps. You tighten the straps, you knot them differently, so it becomes a smaller shoe or a larger shoe. So the Gemara talks about that's permissible to do, because. That is their norm. They share the shoe, so that is the norm. Even though most people, when they make a shoe, it's meant to stay. But a shoe that is shared, but is worn by multiple people, is meant to come out, within a short amount of time. So that would be a different story. So the shaila would be a person who normally ties his shoes and leaves them tied. That's his mahalach. So. Could he do differently? Say, today I'm not going to make it permanent, right? It's Shabbos. I want to be able to tie my shoe, so I won't make it permanent. So l'chari he could do that because it's not a typical thing, right? It's not a standard thing to tie your shoes and leave it tied, leave it tied forever. That's not a standard thing to do. So even though he does that. But I would think if he decides now I'm going to conform with the Rov Ha'am. Rov Ha'am tie their shoes and they untie them. I believe so, right? They untie them before they put it back on, and even probably when they take them off, they untie them too. At least adults. I don't know what kids do, but I think most adults untie their shoes and they take them off. You know? If anybody here feels differently, let me know. But so yeah.
His What is your name again? I'm sorry.
Chaim.
Chaim. Oh, that's my son's name. So, to Mr. Chaim's question, so if, let's say, the shoes are always tied, and in this case, on Shabbos, he untied the shoe and then tied it again, when you said that could be an issue, does that mean then that when you are tying the shoe, in that case, that you're making a permanent knot because you normally leave the shoe tied?
So I'm saying I don't think so. I think if he ties it with the specific intention of untying it after Shabbos, then that would be okay.
Even if it's normally left tied?
Right, it's only normally by him, but it's not like it's the norm in the world.
It's not the norm at all.
No, okay, so since it's not the norm, the fact that he does it normally, okay, so this time don't do it. I mean, this time conform with the...
But his case is opposite to mine. He's saying untying the shoes that he's been tying forever, so he's breaking a permanent.
No, he wasn't about untying. I thought the case is it got untied. Yeah, I didn't. No, you were asking whether he could retie, right? The untying part, Hitaka shouldn't do on Shabbos intentionally. But he's like your question. You gave a case that it became untied accidentally, right? Unintentionally, it became untied. Okay. Okay. So. Now, by the way, also getting back to the question of 1 or 7, the Bir Halacha towards the end of the Siman, it's Bir Halacha. This is on Si'if Dalid. It's on the Mishnah Berurah. It's on page 264. Bir Halacha She'enim Kavuim. He brings a raya. We can't go into now exactly what it is, but. He says at the end of that Bir Halacha, short Bir Halacha, from here I have a very strong support, lahakel b'makom atzarech, to be mekel when necessary, dafilu yosim yom echad, lo merkishol kiyom akal adayim, even more than one day is not called shel kayom. And that he feels he has a raya from a halacha later that one day is not the cutoff point. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, and in Bir Halacha, that it should not, and therefore, even though, I mean, the Rama brought down that shita, so he's not telling you just disregard it and go ahead and be mekel, but he's saying, b'makom atzarech, you could be mekel, even if it's more than one day. And like I said, the next level is 7 days. Okay. Now, there's also, we'll see when we get, I think there's other reasons why we could be matter the person to tie your shoes, even your friend here who, you know, the guy you made up who kicks them off.
Whose shita is 7 days?
Whose shita? Well, I mean, it's brought in the Rama. I mean, where's the Rama getting it from? He quotes it from, I mean, it's in the Tur Umar
Lechai. The Rambam is 24 hours, no?
The Rambam? No, I don't think the Rambam says specifically shita, does he? The first shita of 24 hours he brings from the Kolbo. The Kolbo and the Goz Maimini. Not the Rambam himself, the Hagos Maimini on the Rambam. Right. But he says, but the Torah and the Mordechai bring down the Shita of 7 days.
The Torah and the Mordechai?
Yeah. The Rambam brings both the Shitas down, and as we said, one could be Mekel when there's cause to.
Are we possible that we can go up to 7 days?
When B'makom Tzarech, when necessary. Normally we're Makbid on 24 hours, but when necessary, one could be Mekel up to 7 days, yes. Okay, so now, that tells us the type of knot you could make, not professional. Okay, but now the question is the professional.
44.
Okay, thanks. The professional component to it. What does that mean? So that the Rishonim already write that they don't really. The Shilta Gibarim was one of the says, I don't really know exactly what's meant by professional. I don't know, you know, I don't know how it means, I don't know how to classify and how to define exactly. I mean, the Gemara gives some examples of knots that are professional. It talks about a knot that to tie up a ship, to tie the ship up to the port. So the knot that you tie against the dock, which stays there always, and then one end, you know, is always tied to the dock. So the Gemara talks about that, and talks about knots in the shoes that we mentioned, shoes when the shoemaker creates the shoe by putting the straps through and tying them into the shoe in a way that they'll stay. Those are professional knots. But the question is, like, what's the defining element of it that makes it professional? Is it pshuta? It doesn't make a difference whether who did the knot. I mean, there's no there's no official course that you take, and then you get a certificate saying you are professional now. Now, every knot you make is a professional knot, because that wouldn't be the case. First of all, even a person who's not, who didn't take a course, could theoretically be able to make a professional knot, and even the one who's a professional doesn't mean every knot he makes is a professional knot. He can make knots that are simple knots. So he suggests, the Shulchan Gemara suggests maybe the idea that if it's very strong, a professional might mean a knot that is very tightly knotted. And the Taz in Shulchan Aruch speaks in those terms, but the Berlacha is very bothered by that. To say that the fact that it's tight is a defining factor in a Kesher Uma, and meaning a knot that's not tight is memela not called Kesher Uman. He doesn't feel that that's correct. And one of his proofs, or you know, his arguments is there's a machlokas tanoim in the beginning of the Paraparik Eluk Sharim, which is about knots and knotting. There's a machlokas tanoim about a knot which is able to be untied with one hand. Rabbi Meir says, "Kol kesher she'efshe lahatiro biyad echad is eino kesher." Whatever his lashon, I don't remember that lashon. But Rabbi Meir says, any knot that you could untie with one hand is not defined as a knot by the Torah. It's mutter to make on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Meir says. So says the Chafetz Chaim, but we don't pass it. The Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is arguing with the Chachamim in the Mishnah, and we pass it like the Chachamim. This Bir Halacha is at the very beginning of the Siman, in the first page, in the first Sif, in the long Bir Halacha. He says that we paskin like the other Tanam who are cholek with Rabbi Meir. That means even a knot which you are able to take out with one hand is still could be usher and Shabbos. Now he says that means according to the Rambam, It's got to be called the Kesher Uma, right? Even this knot that you can take out with one hand, it's only going to be usher if it's a Kesher Uma. Going to Rambam, it's not a Kesher Uma. Certainly we're talking about Chayev. You can't be Chayev if it's not a Kesher Uma. So Chavetz Chaim says if it's not a Kesher Uma, and it's clear from the Gemara, it means it's not very tight. It's pretty easily undone. I mean, if it's untiable with one hand, it means it's pretty easily undone. It's not a very tight knot. So, and yet that's a kesh, that still could be within the gather of Kesher Uman. So he says it can't just be totally on the fact that it's tight or not tight. That can't be the determining factor. So the way the Chavetz Chaim explains it, he says, well, maybe the idea is a knot which he says it's not. If the Rambam is saying that even a knot which is not so mehuduk is still going to be usher, and the defining factor doesn't have to be the tightness. He says, let me just get the line here. He says, one second here. Val karchach ba'ofen dehavi ma'isu uman. Yeah, I feel familiar. Harei the ma'isa umin nikra afilu lo mahadik shaper. Ulefize lechar tzarchin al ataz. Okay, but so he says. Okay. So he says what the Taz means to say is that it's not that it's a knot which is tight and difficult to untie, but tight enough that it will not come out on its own. That's what he means by chazak. Not chazak that it's tough to untie it when you try. That you don't need. But it should be strong enough that it will not become untied. It's not even when you use whatever it is, whether it's a shoe or whether it's some sort of container, receptacle that you tied shut or whatever. When you use the thing that's tied, the knot will hold unless you make a concerted effort, make a direct effort to untie it, or not untie. Says that perhaps it would be the definition what the Taz means by Kesher Uman. You need that factor. So then he says, so then what's that? So what are the other Rishonim holding? They hold even a knot that comes out on its own is usher. Like, why should that be? If the knot can't hold and it comes out on its own, why would the Rush say it's usher? So he says it would have to be what the Rush means, and not that it doesn't typically come out on its own, and it's not, you don't expect it to come out on its own, but it's feasible. It's feasible that with the passage of time it will. Meaning, Kesher Uman would mean a knot which it can't come out on its own. It would be extremely unusual and that it comes out on its own. It's a knot which, even though it's tight enough and well enough tied that even if you use the thing numerous times, the knot will come out on its own. Could you get it out easily? Yeah, it could be you can get it out easily. But if it, until you make a specific effort to get it out, it will not untie. It's tight enough. The strings are attached and wound around each other sufficiently that it will not come out on its own. And on that, and the Rush holds, that's not a necessary fact. The Rush, who doesn't hold the Kesher Woman, says even a knot that feasibly could come out on its own, not a knot which is going to, you know, every time you use it or every two, three times it just plops open, because that's not much of a knot at all, but a knot which is tied strong enough that it's unlikely and it's not anticipated it'll come out, but if you know after a while it's shaykh that it will. That's what he wants to say in the Rush. He says yeshlam of the Rush relay kibit shu also so kedei she is kamel olam matzu he shall also shlo yeni to measvo umashi yikul of famim. If it comes out, happens occasionally that it comes out on its own, that doesn't take away the name kesher kayama. So the Rush will hold your chayiv if you make it in a way that it's unlikely to come out on its own, even though it's feasible that it will from time to time. Whereas according to the Rambam, in order to be chayiv, it would have to be a knot that it's practically not feasible. It's not feasible that it should come out on its own. Okay, but now getting back, says the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, we're not really bugging. At the end of the day, we don't know exactly what fits into Kesher Shel Kayama. Kesher Uman. We don't know exactly how broad the definition. Meaning, even if you say a knot that that won't come out on its own, but still there are to define exactly what's in that category is not perfectly clear. Also, I'm fusing the Bir Halacha and the Ramah. The Ramah didn't say anything about Nakameh, so that's the Bir Halacha's explanation. Al Kapan, the Ramah says in the end of Sif Aleph that we are not bucky on what's called a Kesher Uman, and therefore he says the Ramah, V'yesh Omrim D'yesh Lizar, one should be careful Shalo Lahatar Shum Kesher, not to untie any Nachu Shnei Kesharim Ze El Ze. Anytime you have a what we call a double knot, one knot on top of another, you should not untie in Shabbos, or for that matter, you shouldn't tie it either. De'ein anu bikiyim, we are not experts in knowing eiz mikri kesher shel uman. Da'afilu b'she'en shel kiyam asli kasho. We are not bucky in knowing what's kesher uman, which would be usher to tie or untie, even if it's not for permanence. And he says v'chein noagim, that is the minug to be machman that way, that we do not untie any knot, any double knot. So that means even if you want to just tie it for a very short time, no, we don't untie a double knot. He says, except b'mokum tsar, if a person is in a situation where let's say a person tied his shoes with a double knotted his shoes in a way that it would qualify for a knot that should not be made on Shabbos normally, and it's Shabbos, and he can't get his shoe, they're very tight, he can't get them off without untying them. So he says, "B'makom tzar, you could be mekel to not to be machmer for this chshash, because he says the enu elisa derabanan." Right, we're talking about a knot that was not meant for permanent. Obviously, if the knot is being mitzari, it wasn't tied permanently. It was tied to perhaps to and maybe more than that. Could be it wasn't even tied for a long period of time. Could be it was tied for a very short period of time. Just that it's a kesher uman possibly, right? But even if it's a kesher uman without permanence, it's not usher, right? Remember, according to the Rambam, there's no such thing as quasi permanent, right? There's no such thing as long term. It's either permanent or not permanent. And if it's not permanent, it's mutter unless it's uman. And even then, it's only osim midrabanan, right? According to the Rambam, if it's not permanent, it'll never be osim in the Torah. The only way it'll be osim at all is if it's shel uman, then it'll be osim midrabanan. So even if it's very temporary. So here we have a knot which is you would be allowed to untie it, except for the fact that it might be a kesher uman. So even if it is a kesher uman, it's only going to be osim midrabanan because it's not a permanent knot, and it's not a permanent knot, so there's no way it could be worse than the derabanan. So therefore, he says, "B'mokum tsar, if it would be, it'd be something that's causing you pain or distress or whatever, you'd be allowed to." Or mistama, that would mean also, let's say your shoes are off your feet, and they're tied that way, and I mean you can't walk out without shoes. You know, it'd be difficult to walk to shul without shoes. So, mistama, in a case like that, you'd be allowed to untie it. Okay, so what's left then, if you can't make a double knot, you can't make even very short amount of time, so what kind of knots are mutter to make for a short term? It would be something that's like a single knot. But a single knot very often is not going to be usher at all, even for long term. Meaning, what I mean is, picture the way you tie your shoes. Right? Take the first step of tying your shoes. The first step is you make what's called a knot. We call it a single knot, right? You cross the things together and pull it. Now, if you would stop there and you would not continue to make the bow over it, right? Like, if you would not do that, it's not going to hold at all. What? It's going to open right away. It's not going to hold at all.
It's not tied.
That's right. It's not tied, and they say even though it's officially called the kesher, but it's called kesher echad, and that kesher echad is not going to hold. Or if you did that, it's like you take a plastic shopping bag and you grab the two like handles and tie, and just when you put something in there, some people say put and just tie it that way just to keep it. It's not going to hold. Once you try using it and walking with it and handling it, it's not going to hold. So knots like that, the post can say, aren't us or altogether. That's not us, or even if you intended to stay, you have no particular intention of opening it. But that isn't called a knot. So the mashal, even let's say on a garbage bag, if you just tie it that way, just one time, in a way that it's not going to hold, then it's not us altogether. Now, if you're tying a type of a material or a substance which does hold, even as one, that will be awesome. For example, let's say you have metal. You have even this pliable metal, similar to like the twist ties. Now, I'm not going into right now the shiloh of twisting twist ties on Shabbos, which is its own shiloh. Not talking about that. Just let's say you have something like that, which is like pliable metal, right? Metal which you easily bendable. If you would make a knot in that, that's not going anywhere, right? You make one knot, that could hold very well. You could make it, picture a twist tie, right? You have a twisty, a little twisty, right? You have a long twisty. Long twisty, and you take it, the two ends, and tie it over like you shoe, and you pull it tight. It's not going anywhere, right? That's going to hold because it's metal. So something that's takasur, something like that, because even though it's only one knot, that's usur, unless you did it for immediate use with the intention of, and the norm is that you would, something that you would open right away within a day, or at the end of 7 days, then yes, that would be okay. But otherwise, that would be takasur. But if it's one knot, which is made out of, like say, shoelaces or plastic bags, these types of things, that stuff is not going to last, and it would be mutter to do it even, for more than a day. Okay, so let's hold it here for now. This clock is a little bit.
What the, yeah. with the rolls that come in the back and the twist ties.
Okay, so.
Well,
so we'll get to that. The bottom, we'll get to that. That's a whole different shiloh.
We have to open before Shabbos and just twist it around. What do we do?
So, how about for this Shabbos, continue whatever you were doing till now, and maybe we'll talk about it next week or soon. Okay, that's a whole. It's part of what I want to discuss, but it's not. Not a regular achas, and it's not a missing baruch hu. Okay, so for 1 week you can do whatever you were taught to do till now.